You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
Ray, when you were, you know, you were obviously rising up in the music industry, you were building your career. Was there ever a point where you felt like, oh my gosh, you know, all these people, not all these people, but there were people that were, I don't want to say passing you by, but they were blowing up and having billions of views on YouTube, and it became a whole new universe. Like, it wasn't record labels and Tower Records anymore. It was streaming services and YouTube and all these things. And you have big followings everywhere. But was there ever a point where you felt like, gosh, I don't have a handle on what's going on in the music industry? And did that frustrate you? Did you ever feel like left behind?
No, I just felt like there was something else out there in business that I've always been in love with.
So this might be a crazy idea, and I'm just going to throw stuff at you. But
yeah, let's brainstorm. Let's do it.
Yeah. None of us can get audio working. Anytime I use this, so it's always 100% time.
I'm almost there, fellas.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Can you hear us, Ray?
Can you hear us? Do you have to turn it on?
Might have to charge it?
No.
Hello?
Do you hear us?
Now. Perfect. All right, here we go. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
James has a joke, though. James, I'm going to let James tell the joke.
Ray, don't worry, because what I was just saying is we could send a drone 6,000 miles to kill some Iranian general, but not once have I ever gotten audio working when I log onto this damn software.
Oh, man. I'm just happy to be here, man. I'm happy to get it working. Matt's going to kick my butt later.
No, I'm not.
He said he's going to use karate, the Canadian karate, which we know is pretty wimpy. He's going to use that. So they don't, Matt, I was trying to tell him, Matt, they don't have karate in Canada. Bruce Lee came to LA, not Canada.
Bruce Lee went to San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Then he switched his mind.
Yeah.
So Ray, how's it going? How are you doing?
It's going good. It's going good, man. I'm working. I'm quarantining. I got, you know, two kids under two. But it's all good, man. I'm having a good time. I'm happy I got the sound together, man. I was working. I was hustling, you know, trying to make it right. I'm happy to be on.
Believe me, this happens every time. Really, it's no deal. But how's things going? Like, is your, you know, I know you've had a lot of volatility in life recently, and how are you taking care of yourself?
Everything has been good. You know, business is doing well, you know, unbelievably through this, you know, pandemic that's going on. But as far as Raycon is concerned, with my earbuds and my headphones, things are going real good. You know, prayers out to everybody that's going through what they're going through in the time that we're having now. And for us, you know, we've just been trying to stay positive. Just, you know, keep a positive energy going and, you know, just work through whatever problems are in our way, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really important because these pandemics and everybody's thrown off their routine. You know what I mean? And that stresses the mind, it stresses the body, and there's little explosions that happen that you don't realize. And it's important to kind of, everybody puts it in perspective. That,
exactly.
Like, I try to remind myself whenever I'm, you know, anxious right now, is that okay? We're all going through something, and we just have to take a step out of our body for a second, just to just to deal with it.
Yep.
And not get absorbed by it.
Yep, that's right. That's right. You just got to stay positive and just stay on the up and up. No matter what, it is what it is. And you know, as soldiers, as people that don't stop, we just got to keep going and stay positive.
And Ray, you haven't stopped since you were Sinbad's son in 1995 or whenever it was.
Yeah.
Like, you've been acting, singing. Of course, you're well known as, you know, a brilliant singer, and you've done so many collaborations with other great artists, and you've sold so many albums. You've been an actor, and you've been in the past several years, you've been an entrepreneur. By the way, that Scoot e-bike is amazing. I've been riding, I'm supposed to be in quarantine right now. I've been riding up all over Manhattan, downtown and uptown in the Scoot e-bike. Everyone's catching my eye on the street. We'll get into your career in a second, but just
all right.
What's your relationship with the Scoot e-bike? And also, Matthew Clayton, right, is on the podcast as well. Matthew, welcome. You're the CEO of Loop, which has done a deal with Ray with the Scoot e-bike and other Ray electronics. So welcome to the podcast, both of you guys, Matt and Ray.
Yes.
Thank you, James. Thank you.
And so, Ray, how did you come up with the best bike on the planet?
Well, thank you, man. I've always wanted to be a part of the Green Initiative. About 10 years ago was when I really started to hit the ground running, and I ran up on an e-bike. We put the brand behind it. We put the name behind it. We put our heart and soul behind it. And as you just go back, if you Google Scoot e-bike, you'll see how many people have supported the brand, from P. Diddy to Justin Bieber to the NFL to the NBA and so on and so forth. And for me, as I got it to a certain level, I needed that extra push. Now I needed to go all the way to the top. And the only way to do that is to find the right partners. And that's where Loop came in. And they really, really took it to the next level with the engineering, the telematics, the digital dashboard system that they have now. You know, it is really just taking Scoot e-bike somewhere where I didn't even think it was going to go. So I'm happy that, you know, I sold it to Loop. And now we are about to make fireworks in 2020 with so many new ideas that Matt and the team have.
That's great. I mean, again, it's such a smooth ride, and I was very excited. It was easy to put together. It wasn't really anything, and just turned it on and started cruising around outside. So it's exciting. And I want to talk about what your plans are for it. But I just want to get a little bit of background. Obviously the world knows you as Ray J, the singer. You were born into a family of singers. Your dad was a gospel singer. Your sister, Brandy, of course, has sold 40 million copies of her albums.
Shout out to Brandy.
Yeah, shout out to Brandy. And you're all on Moesha, and you've been on a ton of shows. You grew up in a different way than people grow up typically. Like, you didn't grow up in a suburb going to junior high school, getting beat up by the bullies, and then going to high school, and then and so on. Like, what happened? You guys moved from, you were born in Mississippi, you moved to California. What happened?
We started out acting. I started out doing the Sinbad show. Like you said, you took it all the way back to 95. And my sister started out on a show called Thea. And then from there, she released her self-titled album, and it sold about 5 million copies. And that's when everything started to change. And we started to move into a different phase in our life, with Brandy just going, you know, to the next level. For me, I've always been independent, with all of the music that I've put out, from One Wish, which is now revamped itself now. If you Google Ray J and One Wish, it's one of the top TikTok songs now. And I put that song out 10 years ago. Actually 15 years ago. Wow, I'm getting old. But I've always been independent with everything I've done. So I've just taken all of the stuff that I've learned with running, you know, my label and, you know, just my independent music, and I've taken it and I put it into the tech world, and I've created these new marketing strategies and these new templates that I feel are unmatched in my own world, in the strategic marketing play. And, you know, it's been working. God has been good to have us, you know, still here today, surviving, being successful. You know, 20 years, you know, ago is when I started, and I'm still here. So God is good, man, for real.
Yeah, and I really am impressed with the constant streak of independence, whether it's with the music or the collaborations you did, and now this being an electronics entrepreneur and your deal with Loop, like your label Knockout, did you ever consider, did you start out with another label? Like, you know, many artists did, including Snoop Dogg, your cousin started out from label to label and so on.
Yeah, well, I started out at Atlantic. I got a deal from Elektra and then I went to Atlantic. And that's where I learned to just go independent. I had the song called Wait a Minute featuring Lil' Kim. Pharrell produced the song. And that was right before Pharrell and the Neptunes really kicked it off. But I really believed in him. He believed in me. And we worked well together. And we had this song called Wait a Minute. And it was everything to me. And I told the label, listen, you know, you don't even have to give me a budget. Just give me a van. Let me go out and promote this all over the world. And I'll bring back home a hit. And I did that for them. And that's when I learned that I could do it myself with, you know, with the right amount of money and a real strong team that believes in me. As long as we go out and build it from the ground up and really work this thing and believe in this thing and have the passion that we know it can work, it can happen. And so that song took off and it was my first hit record. And then Pharrell and the Neptunes went on to just do amazing things. And from there, I just said, you know what? I'm going to go independent. I'm going to put this same strategy behind everything I do. And as long as we believe and have the right team and have the right strategy, we can win. And that's when it all kicked off for me.
So tell me about that. Tell me about the strategy conceptually. Like, what are the components? Like, you know, then you started your own label, you started Knockout, you started doing all sorts of ventures. Then you started going big into also, you know, spreading your brand through appearances on very successful reality TV shows, which allowed you then to have a good influencer once you started getting into entrepreneurship. So what was the beginning? Like, what was the core strategy when you started Knockout? Like, what was your philosophy that brought it all together?
Well, for me, it was really working the record in every state, every city, building our relationships with DJs, with program directors, and really showing them how much we cared about the record and how hard we were willing to work for it. And I think you take that same energy and that same that same belief and you go state to state, you know, and you really bond with everybody from the fans to the people controlling radio. And, you know, from there, it's all about the fans. If they love the song, they're going to support it. And so for me, I was lucky to have those songs that really connected with people. And from there, they supported it and they called in and they bought it and it started to be successful in an arena where independent music is hard to do. And so we were able to, you know, crack the code. And really continue to build it. And, you know, now we're in tech and it's having the same effect.
And what do you think the code was that you cracked? Like, I mean, you really stood out against other R&B singers, and then you did a lot of collaborations with rap and so on. Like, what was the code for you?
I think it's just having great product and then also showing people how hard you're willing to work for the product and how you believe in and how passionate you are in what you're selling or you're promoting. And if it's honest and if it's real and if it's good at the same time, magic can happen. And I think that's what happened. I think that's the code. Great product, belief, hard work, nonstop until it works. That's what I believe in. And so from there, things have started to unfold. And we got a long way to go, but I think we're off to the races.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you're always, what's great is you haven't been afraid to pivot at different points, like again, going into reality, then going into electronics, and we're going to talk about all of that. Was there ever a point where you were like, oh my gosh, I'm 27 years old and I don't know, it feels over, like people are not buying the music as much, music industry is changing, I don't quite get this streaming thing, the record stores are gone, radio play is gone. Was there ever a point where you were kind of discouraged, like, oh, I'm gonna have to go on Celebrity Big Brother and live in a house with a bunch of people I don't like?
Right, right. You know, for me, there's been a lot of times where I felt like it was time to switch up and change the narrative and what we were doing. I've always tried to look into the future, whether it was getting on reality shows before everybody started, to now you see how big the electric bike industry is. And we literally brought that to America 8-9 years ago. And so for people to adapt to what we do and we catch on fast, for me, it's just about seeing what's next and catching on and not being afraid to move into the next phase. And so we've always done that. And God is good, for real.
So what was your first exposure to the Scoot e-bike, which the, how do you call it? Scooty bike.
Scooty bike. Yep.
Yeah.
Scooty bike.
Scoot-e-bike. Yep. What was your first exposure to it? Like what happened?
Well, first the hoverboards came out and, everybody went crazy for the hoverboards, but the safety behind the hoverboards really, it just wasn't right. Everybody was falling. Everybody. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Mike Tyson video, but it was, you know, once I seen that, I just felt like there was something else out there that could be electric, that was safer, that people really could ride on a day to day. And we came up on the Scooty bike, and there were so many different, you know, styles of the bike, but the one that we really, really just connected with was the K1. And from there, we just started to upgrade it and make it our own and put our extra, you know, our extra coolness into the bike. And that was just me by myself. That's before I got with Loop. But now that Loop has taken over, I mean, the bike is even... Now it's on a whole nother level, and we have bigger bikes, and we have a new engineering system, and we have new telematics. And so from what I've started with the bike and now to where it is, oh man, it's next wave. And I thank Matt and everybody for doing that, because you guys have really just taken this thing to the next level, man. Thank you.
You're like, Matt, when you first encountered Ray and this bike, what were your thoughts? What were you thinking?
Well, first of all, I think he's too kind, because he was and is the brains behind this unit and this product. When I first saw it, you know, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but when I see something and I dig it that much, I know there's a pretty good chance my friends are going to dig it. And when I saw that unit, I just went, come on, like this is something that everyone can really enjoy. Now, there is many things to think about with a product like Scooty Bike because of the different rules and regulations around e-bikes and how we look at e-bikes and bike lanes and on the road and helmet, no helmet. So we kind of really looked at it, and I was just really excited because, you know, if we look at where we're going in the bike industry, they are now up to 60 to 70% of every bicycle sale in the United States is an e-bike now. And It is here to stay. I mean, this is getting seniors out. This is getting people who wouldn't go on a bike out because of the assist, and they can still get some cardio in and some workout in, but the assist on the bicycles is changing the game for everyone. And I think it's fantastic. A Scooty bike, when I saw it fold up and I realized that we had this 45-pound unit that you could hold and fold up and hang onto a boat, or hang in your garage, or hang in your condominium, and that it had that kind of versatility. And then for me, it was the music, because when I put the Bluetooth on and I had the speaker going, and I'll never forget riding down this beachway on the coast of Canada here, flip-flops, I did have a helmet on and shorts on, and I had, I'll tell you, I had Post Malone on, and I was on this thing.
Is that sacrilegious, Ray? Is he on the other side?
Nah, hey, it's all good. It's all good. Ride out.
All right.
I tell you. But where I'm going with this is, you know, there was a very large gathering of people that were all in tents, and they were playing games and doing different stuff, barbecuing. And I looked over, and every single person was staring at me, and because they didn't really know what it was. Because they didn't see me pedaling on the pedals. They just saw the throttle and saw me moving at a good pace. And it wasn't me standing up on a scooter. So they couldn't really process what was that. But it really is an e-assisted cycle that we have the pedals on and that we built it this way. So really what you have is a sit-down scooter that is much safer to ride than being on a stand-up scooter, which are not that easy to ride. And also limits people. So I guess the answer for me is I just looked at it when this is something that consumers are going to have fun on. And we need to get it to people. Ray had seeded the market so well with celebrities and athletes and influencers. And, you know, their excitement is there. And they see things every day. So I knew that once we could bring this, make a few modifications to it, we really had something, James.
But okay, so let's talk about that. So Ray, you got a lot of people you knew to ride the to have the bike, to ride it, you know, Snoop Dogg, Diddy, like you mentioned, these football teams and so on. What sort of effect did you see from that? Do influencers, in fact, have an effect on product sales?
They do. And this was, you know, this was years ago. I think now they've created a new business around it, a new business model for influencers. When I started out with the Scooty bike, it was still kind of like the Wild Wild West. So, you know, all of the celebrities really just wanted a bike. So what I did was I just customized, you know, 300-400 bikes for every celebrity that I thought would like it. And I just had my team drop it off to everybody. And they, you know, they let them in their houses. I pulled up to certain sets. I pulled up to concerts. I really just kind of worked this thing from the ground up. But when they saw the bike, they connected with it. And I never asked them to post anything. You know, they just did it on their own in their day-to-day life. And that's what made it cool, because just watching them on a product that we put together was more fulfilling than anything. And I kind of got a rush and I didn't want to stop. And so you see Steph Curry, Justin Bieber, Post Malone. I mean, the list goes on and on. I when I caught that wave, I wanted to surf the wave until I couldn't surf it anymore. And I think that's just the love of the bike. It's a really good bike. It's a really, really, really good product. And it's something that I think people can use, especially now, in their day-to-day life, once everything gets back up and running for real.
Yeah, because you look at, for instance, I'm in New York City. I don't ride a car, and people are going to be a little bit more reluctant, I think, to ride a cab even, because there's all these fears now of there's going to be a lot more social isolation.
Absolutely.
And so if you're not in a cab, and very few people in New York City drive cars, this is actually a great alternative. You could, and by the way, there's anti-stealing features in it. It's hard to steal.
Got its own alarm. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We triggered the alarm. The entire building thought we were having a coronavirus attack. And it's great. I could see in urban areas, I could see delivery, although it's a high-end price point for delivery people. But where do you see kind of next moves in market for this as you're thinking about it?
Yeah, Matt, you want to take that?
Yeah, for sure. So we are going to deploy a direct-to-consumer model. We think it's the best model for us right now online. And we'll be working next month with Amazon to go direct out to market to get the product in front of the most eyeballs and get direct-to-consumer, James.
Matt, can I ask you a question? I'm sorry if I interrupt, but you say you're going to work with Amazon. Does that mean you're just going to list it on Amazon, or are you calling Amazon on the phone and saying, hey, what can we do to make this stand out? Or what does it mean working with Amazon?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So we have been admitted into the Launchpad program. And that is because of Ray's success with Raytronics and Raycon and everything he's done. That's a premium brand and a premium seller. So they were very interested in working with us on Scooty Bike because of Ray's success. So what that means, James, is just look at it like a toolbox. I like analogies. So, you know, if James comes to Amazon and said, I want to sell teacups, I got great teacups. Well, that's great. And they may list you, and you may be listed on Amazon, and you may work with them, and you may have a storefront, but there could be 1,000 other vendors as well. And it's very challenging. Right. With Launchpad, because it's a celebrity-backed, driven product, we get a team that's dedicated to us. We get many tools in the toolbox as far as video features, specials that we can run. So it really gets the product out in front of people who are visiting Amazon day to day. So we start with them actually in June, right to their fulfillment centers. And also what we will do is we'll run our own websites that we're currently running, and we can do direct to consumer sales via online as well. And when retail makes sense, we can potentially look at it. But I think right now this will be the best business model for us, James.
What about also partnering with, you know, ride sharing, or, you know, in New York City we have these city bikes, or, you know, in some cities there's Lime, some cities there's Bird. What about partnering with them, or you know, you could even white label and say, hey, if anybody wants to start a ride sharing company, they can use our bikes, and we'll cater and design for that ride sharing, you know, almost like you can say, we're going to make a company in a box. If you want to start a ride sharing company, we've got the whole setup and logistics and everything for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So James, we have two products. Obviously we're talking about the Scooty Bike product right now, but our full loop size product is a fully licensed scooter. That in the state of New York, you would be wearing a helmet. You would have a driver's license. It has a longer range, faster speeds. It is a full motor vehicle in the road under the rules and laws of the streets. And it is designed with our app that Ray's helped us put together for Loop to be a true ride sharing app. So simply put, you can locate a scooter from your phone. You can open the scooter from your phone. You can book the scooter from your phone with the pin pad. You can take it from point A to point B, and then you can finish your trip, and then you can zero out and the payments happened by the kilometer or by the mile or by the minute. We can choose how we're actually using the charging and the metrics for charging the consumer. So we have that available now. And with the Scooty Bike, we could pivot into that as well. It could be a unit that could be used for rideshare, but we do think that there'll be more of a consumer demand for it as a daily use and something that you own, as something that you would just use on a day-to-day basis, say per hour, James.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think, like, what other features are you thinking of adding to the bike? Like, clearly it's so thought out. It's just, I can't stop repeating it enough. It's just a beautiful design and, you know, other features like the speaker system and the cruise control and the anti-steering. You know, it's almost hard to think what else you can add to it, but I'm sure there's ideas you have.
Yeah, Ray, you want to take that? I mean, yeah, go ahead, yeah. Ray.
You know, what makes the new Scooty Bike really cool, when I started, we didn't have the pedals on it, right? And Matt stressed that the pedals would make it universal. And now that we have the pedals on the Scooty Bike, I mean, it is the icing on the cake. I mean, now you can ride it anywhere. It is legal everywhere now because the pedals make it a bike. And an e-bike. And before, it was just an electric bike. So there were different rules and different regulations in different places. But now that we put the icing on the cake with the pedals, I think now it's just upgrading every year, every 6 months. We just make the bike better. It's like buying a 1995 Mercedes-Benz or buying a 2020. You know, the upgrade has to happen. So every day we're trying to find new ways to upgrade it. But with the pedals on it, the icing is on the cake now. It's just getting better and better and just upgrading the bike. But I think we got it.
So Ray, let me ask you, like, what if we take the bike and what's the top speed of the bike?
Well, now with the pedals, see, without the pedals, you only can get up to 19 before it becomes a moped. But now with the pedals, the speed of it's unlimited depending on how fast you pedal, you know, and the assist gives you, you know, more push. So if you can go as fast as you want, as fast as you can pedal, you know, and that's what makes this different from the original Scooty Bike without the pedals, because then you only can reach 19 miles per hour before you would have to now make it a moped. So it's unlimited.
So this might be a crazy idea, and I'm just going to throw stuff at you.
Yeah, let's brainstorm. Let's do it.
Yeah. What if we put a cover on the whole bike? And now it's like this mini one-person electric car, and boom, you just beat out Tesla for 1/1,000,000,000th the price.
James, we just need your support, so let's move
That's
on
crazy.
It.
Let's do it,
James.
I would ride that car.
Okay,
I'm not even legally allowed to drive, and I would drive that car.
Nice,
James. If but we have your support, we're there.
So, and then here's another thing. I'm going to spend some time in Key Biscayne off of Miami, and, you know, Key Biscayne, everybody drives around in these golf carts, and also there's the water all around. This is going to sound crazy, but I've seen golf carts that do this. What if, and this is even better for the Scooty Bike, you could have the wheels turn into, when it senses water, turn into jet skis so you can go in the water.
Ooh.
So you can drive from the road into the water.
See, now, James, the only problem now is we've got to ask Elon to come on because we just might need some help with the technology.
But, he's a punk. I can do it.
Okay.
You can do it.
We're all
you can
in.
Do it.
Ray and
We're
I are all in.
In.
Well,
That's
James, I was going to say just on the Scooty Bike, a couple things that Ray and I have been talking about. So in the United States and in Canada, you are governed by how fast they can go and the speed of the motor to stay in regulations. So that's about 19 to 20 miles an hour in the US and about 30 kilometers an hour in Canada. The pedals, the reason that we feel these pedals help, it's more psychological that if you're going, say, very slow or you're just kind of coasting along, you're in control. Everyone understands bike pedaling from, you know, young adults to forward. So you can balance, you can pedal, you can go slow, you can control it. That was the first thing. The second thing is we went to a more powerful motor to make sure that heavier people, I'm a couple hundred pounds, 6 foot three, and you know, I want to be able to go on it and go up a hill, and it can hold me, it can take me anywhere I need to go. The one area that Ray and I have talked about is, should we go to a larger size? So should we look at doing a bigger frame with a little bit of a bigger unit? It could be 6 inches longer, 6 inches taller for taller people, and have two models from a frame size. That might be one thing that we take a look at. But what we've done is we've created something that's powerful enough, plugs in and has great range, foldability so it can be stored away, and it's smooth and fun, and you've got the entertainment aspect to it. You know, and I just think that we've got something that people will just enjoy. And as long as the product holds up and meets their demands, I think we're in a good place, and we'll innovate for sure.
You know, the reason I'm thinking these things is one way to maybe find a new audience, because since you're doing direct to consumer and you're not doing kind of these large scale distribution deals with anybody, it might be interesting to think of some new component, maybe even a social media component, so that while you're riding around, you see something that's nice, you click a button and boom, it goes on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, wherever you want, and whatever. And then put this idea on Kickstarter along with the bike. And so now Kickstarter is this interesting way to allow the crowd to feel like they're part of the development of something. Now they don't get any equity or anything, but you set awards like, okay, we're going to get some albums from Ray J signed. That's the first award. And then, oh, you know, the second award is, you know, whatever your name is on goes on your bike and on and on and on. But that's a kind of a good way to kind of seed an initial audience of passionate consumers that love the next generation of this. And it just might be a food for thought, putting on Kickstarter like that. That's how a lot of, you know, games like, like the Oculus Rift, which is a VR helmet and it's sold to Facebook for $2 billion. That started off as a Kickstarter project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's an interesting thing. If you're thinking of as you begin to think of the next model and what features, and the fact that Ray, you're so big on social media and, you know, your songs are big on TikTok, maybe there's some way that you really get that audience, and there's tens of millions of people in that universe.
No, that's right. That's right, man. We need you. We need you in the room every week with us, man. Come on.
Yeah, I'll do it. I love the bikes.
Can we do this every Tuesday? This would be fantastic.
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah.
For real.
That no problem. Jay, note it down. Jay the engineer. Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, Of course, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, Your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop, really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Yo, it looks like you're in outer space right now.
Yeah, no, I was doing another video earlier, so I had to throw up this space thing.
It looks like you're out of the galaxy, like in a whole nother planet.
And I got my 1980s arcade game over there in the corner.
Nice.
So Defender and Joust, so popular arcade games. But nice. So Ray, you were kind of doing lots of different things, like, you know, you were coordinating your songs, you were doing the reality shows, you started to be an entrepreneur. What made you kind of say, hey, you know what, I need to be a little bit more entrepreneurial? Like, were you influenced by people around you, or what were you thinking?
I was riding on a tour bus promoting a song, and I was just spending a lot of time doing a lot of stuff, you know, and I was I just came to a point where I said, you know, some of this money that I'm making, just getting paid for my time and my skill, has to amount to something. I need to start investing into something that, that would be profitable for generations to come. And that's when I just started to think about, what could I invest in? And again, I believe that if you go the way the wind blows and you don't fight against the wind, magical things happen. And that's when the Scooty Bike came about. And listen, I put all of my money behind the Scooty Bike. Before I sold it to Loop, I was almost down to my last. And I felt like something was going to change. You know, I mean, it's not cheap having an electric bike company and putting all of your own money into it. And I felt like if I just had the right team, if I had the right engineers, if we had the right CEO to really just take this thing where it needs to go, blessings would happen. And then all of a sudden, Loop came. And, you know, I didn't hesitate. The deal was great. And it was something that I felt, you know, God was talking to me about it. And he said, do it. And I did it. And we're here now. And we're here for the long term, for the long haul. We want to pump this thing year after year until we get it to where we need it to go. So, and I'm just happy to have a good team.
Were you scared at that point when you were when you felt like you were down to your last dollar? Yeah. And you didn't know what was going on? Like, how do you deal with that fear? Like, a lot of entrepreneurs go through this where you're never really sure something's going to work out, and you don't know like what's going to happen if you are down to that last dollar. Like, I don't know for you if you could just say, "Hey, I'm just going to go on tour and I'll make it all back," or like what was going through your head?
Yeah, that came to mind, and I felt like I would have to just go back to my day-to-day routine and make it back. But I mean, I was, you know, $2 million in, and, you know, I was a little nervous, but I felt like, you know, if I just kept pushing, something would happen. I mean, I'm almost down to my last, and then all of a sudden I had a meeting with a beer at the Soho House. And he felt like I would be a great addition to this new ride sharing deal he was putting together. And right then I said, whoa, this might be it. I mean, to try to compete with, you know, Lyft and Uber when they came out with all of the bikes. I mean, I had three rental companies on Venice Beach, and we were getting killed every day with the new bike sharing way it was happening. So I needed to be in that space. It wasn't easy to find, you know, engineers and a team like Loop, but I just fought through, and now we're strong. We're real strong. And with all of the abilities I can do in marketing and with what they bring to the table, from the engineering to the new telematics to just their whole new strategy on how to promote and market this thing, we can win. We can, and we will.
What do you guys mean by telematics?
Oh, the new Loop dashboard is something that's out of this world. Matt, you could break it down for him on that.
Yeah, so James, when Ray's talking about our telematics, he's now speaking to the full-size Loop scooters and the system that we have built into the electric scooter that works with the app that we've also designed in Android and iOS, so that you can locate scooters, book scooters, use them in and out of your businesses for clients, for customers, and that are working with a fleet management system, so you have control of where your fleet is, where it's going, how it's being used, and you can run diagnostics on it as well. So we really have two sides to our business. One is the full-size Loop scooter. The other is the direct-to-consumer Scooty Bike. And then we will eventually start to move into electric vehicles as well, as that's where the company is going inside of transportation of goods and services. So we fully expect to be into vehicles in 2021. And we'll also be looking at other e-bike type assets that could fit well into our portfolio.
Yeah, because again, it does seem like if you take the technology you've developed for the electric side of this, it's such a smooth ride, and you know, you have this vehicle that's faster, that's car-like speeds or motorcycle-like speeds. What is the difference between that and, you know, a high-end Tesla, where, you know, it's basically just an electric motor with the hood on it? Like, you put two of these scooters together, put the hood over, you have another seat. You know, is there a lot of engineering involved? I mean, I'm describing something that's engineering intensive, but I sort of feel like with a hammer and some nails, you could do it.
There's a couple of really interesting options. So when you look at scooters, you know, when you look at the environment of using scooters, mean we're outside in the elements. So we look at cities that have snowfall, rainfall. We look at places like Hawaii, where you've got, you know, 365 days a year of riding and different areas. So for us, it's a matter of, can we build out solutions for people in parts of the country where the weather isn't great all year round? Could they still use a scooter? You know, in Europe, we don't see that hesitation. Rain, cold, they're using scooters year round, where North Americans are a little bit more reserved in that area about when they'll use them in what areas. But we've been looking at some different covers to the scooters that can keep them out of the, keep the driver out of the rain. They do use them over in Europe, and they do use them in Asia. So rain, I'll be looking at that as well.
How many scooters are out there right now?
So we have 110 operating right now in Beirut. Lebanon was the very first city that Loop launched into, and they've been used there for over 2 years now in a ride-sharing application. And we have 300 scooters here in North America. 110 of those are going down to California, and the other ones will be kept here up here in Canada.
And how many Scooty bikes sold?
Scooty bikes. So we just went through, well, Ray had already seeded the industry with about 400 to 500. We did an initial run of 150 with the pedals to test out the market, get them into consumers' hands and get some feedback. That's gone extremely well. And we order these in sets of 250 to 500 at a time. And that fits a full 40 cube container. So the next shipment comes actually next week. That'll go directly out into the market, into our partners with Amazon once we're ready to launch.
That's great. And so Ray, when you were, you know, you were obviously rising up in the music industry, you were building your career. Was there ever a point where you felt like, oh my gosh, you know, all these people, not all these people, but there were people that were, I don't want to say passing you by, but they were blowing up and having billions of views on YouTube, and you know, they were a little like Justin Bieber's age or younger, and it became a whole new universe. Like, it wasn't record labels and Tower Records anymore. It was streaming services and YouTube and all these things. And you have big followings everywhere, but was there ever a point where you felt like, gosh, I don't have a handle on what's going on in the music industry? And did that frustrate you?
Yeah, not really. I've always been able to adapt. And me being independent, I've always been able to sell records and then, you know, see money coming back on my own system, right? Sometimes when you're signed to these majors, you know, you don't really know how much money's being made or how much money's being passed through the whole system. With me, I've always been in control. So I've just been able to like always create a plan and try to convert what I invest. That's the most important to me, is put up money and try to convert it into something that can make me money back and be profitable for whoever invested with me. That's the most important. And so I've been able to move and shift and shake. I'm like Muhammad Ali in the game. You know, if it's not popping here, let me shake on to reality. Let me go from reality to tech. Let me go from tech to bike sharing, from bike sharing to earbuds and headphones. But I've always known to always have a strong team that are great at everything business has to offer. So I can't do everything. And that's why we have a great CEO like Matt, you know, running Loop, because, you know, he has the plan. I'm ready to attack from the marketing side, and all the rest of the guys are doing what they do. And if everybody's doing their job, success can happen, and it will happen.
I mean, did you ever feel in the past, like, you know, from your success and your, you know, generosity with the artists you worked with, some of them went on to become very big. Did you ever feel, and you're a huge artist as well, but did you ever feel like left behind?
No, I just felt like, there was something else out there in business that I've always been in love with. And again, I love performing, and I love doing music, but, building companies is more of my passion. And so with all the relationships that I have with these guys who are on top in music, for me to come back to them and showcase my product, and they support it and love it and post it and show the world that we got something good, you know, that's what matters. So if they're dominating on this side, you know, let's find another way to dominate in another space.
And you guys should throw a race. on with the bike, the scooty bike.
I know. You know what? Steph Curry did that with his wife, and they raced the scooty bike for pink slips for pink slips for cars or something like that. But I thought about that. We should do something like that. Keep it safe, but make it fun. That would be
James, yeah. James, would you enter?
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay,
okay, you're in.
I'm a daredevil.
Okay, well, we'll have to do our first New York race then, and we'll have all the proceeds go towards something that's all special to us, and let's get some fun people, and we'll have a race out in New York City. So let's make this happen. Let's put that into reality this summer.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, count me in. Yeah, and you know, and again, I'll respect your time. I know you guys are busy guys, but if someone was going to enter the music industry now, what would they do? What would you advise them to do?
You know, the music industry is tricky now because it's so fast. I mean, people are ready for the next song, you know, 2 weeks after you release a single. And in the past, you know, you can let a single go for 6 months or 8 months before you move on to the next one. So I just think you have to, you know, have some young people around you that know the game, that know what's hot. So you keep some youngsters around and you build a team around people who can make sure you get all the exposure you can get, because views and numbers is what people are looking at right now in the music game. You know, if you got 3 million views on your video, then more people will go and look at it. So, you know, it's a numbers game. It's also, you know, good music and good style. But for me, it's a numbers game. So make sure you got your numbers right.
And how do you get your numbers right? I mean, obviously a good song,
a good team, a good digital marketing team is always the best to have in any business right now. Especially if you're selling music or you're going D2C with any product, a digital marketing squad that can really make people see the product day to day and really drill it inside of their brains that this is the product that you should get over and over. I think those are the teams people should be looking after.
Like, what would they do? Would they contact other influencers and say, hey, do some dances to this song on TikTok or use this in your YouTube video? Or
yeah, I think it's, you know, if it's influencers that you're focusing on, then you focus on the biggest influence squad. You know, it's like if you're doing gaming, you should try to find FaZe Clan because they're the hottest gaming clan out. Or if you're going with, you know, TikTok influencers, they got a crew called Hype House who's popping, who has all the top TikTok influencers. So I think it's really just finding out the right teams in different spaces to connect with, and then also making sure you have a budget that can handle all the needs that you want.
Yeah, or you know, you just made me think with gaming, you could imagine a game inserting the scooty bike into the game.
Like Paperboy. So
I don't know, is that a game, Paperboy? I don't know.
Yeah, it's an old, you know, you guys don't remember Paperboy? He used to throw the like paper in each. It's an old game.
But you can imagine that, or like, you know, Grand Theft Auto. Now we got the scooty bike.
Hopping on the scooty bike and Grand Theft Auto is hot. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
James, I'll tell you, my little 8-year-old, first thing he said to me, he said, Dad, do you think we can get a scooty bike into Fortnite? And I said, wouldn't that be cool?
Scooty bike on Fortnite.
So how do we make that happen? Because that would be ultra cool. But absolutely, I'd love it.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Ray, putting your marketing hat on, because you know that whole influencer world. How would you get the scooty bike on Fortnite?
Well, we got to find out who knows people at Fortnite and then make the calls every day until we find out how we can get the green light. You know, make some Fortnite bikes, pull up to Fortnite office, wherever it is, fly in and wait outside until the man comes and then pitch the idea right there on the spot. That's from like the guerrilla marketing side. There's other ways to approach it. But, you know, if you just really want to go in from the ground up, then sometimes that's what it takes to really connect the dots.
Maybe a contest on TikTok also, where everybody's got to make TikTok videos with the scooty bike. Whoever gets the most views gets some kind of prize. Like, you know, Ray, you show up at their birthday party, do a concert, whatever, and do TikTok stuff with them whatever it is.
Hey, listen. Whatever it takes, we get it done.
Yeah. So, okay. So, well, look, congratulations on the bike. I've used it. My whole family's used it now. I couldn't take it away from my daughters. They grabbed it out of, as soon as I stopped, they grabbed it away from me and we're just cruising around. Fortunately, there's nobody on the streets in New York City because we're all supposed to be locked indoors.
Yeah.
So we were just cruising around on the Scooty bike all over the place. Probably we all caught coronavirus at the same time.
No.
And no, we didn't. It's gone from here by now, hopefully. But it's a great bike. And, you know, thank you so much for sending it over. And look, I really appreciate talking to you guys. And let me know. I'm really interested, like, how I can help ever. I'm happy to help or brainstorm or anything. That's my forte, is I invest in a lot of companies and I brainstorm for a lot of companies. That's why
that.
People get me involved.
I love and, that. Please come get involved, man. We would love to have
you.
Yeah,
please do. James, we're going to do this race. So we're going to start to look at what this needs to look like from a lineup standpoint. But we're probably going to have to, soup your bike up a little bit. We'll do a little bit of James Altucher work on it. We've done a lot of custom label bikes. We'll do that for you guys. And, if anyone wants to learn more about us online, it's scootybike.ca. Has all of our different colors and the combinations. And, we're a publicly traded company in the United States and in Canada and over in Europe. And we trade on the OTC. So please check us out. And, if you like what you see, James, let's talk, because Fortnite, that gets me excited.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, Matt, Ray J, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. And appreciate you.
Appreciate the bike and your work on it. And I'm going to keep brainstorming. You're going to hear from me.
Come on in. Whenever you need an analyst, let me know. I'll come on and be an analyst for the show. I got a lot of ideas too.
All right. Excellent. I will do. I'm going to take you up on that. You're going to be getting calls from me.
Come on. Let's go.
So, all right, you guys. I'll see you soon. Thanks so much. I appreciate this.
Salute. Thank you.
James, grateful for your time. Thank you very much, James. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Pleasure.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.